Højgaard School is a Danish and international school that has existed since 1909. Each day, people of diverse nationalities, religions and cultures come together, creating a community and a spirit based on equality, responsibility and mutual respect. Within this nurturing environment, Højgaard School cultivates a unique space for holistic education, fostering growth both academically and socially. Welcome to this podcast about Højgaard School. My name is Anja D'Amico and I am your host.
It was long time before I was a sister.
The voice you can hear in the background belongs to our esteemed guest, a remarkable woman who has a strong connection to the school. Seated in the parloir at Højgaard School, Sister Anna Christina, an elderly Swedish nun, reflects upon all her cherished memories from this room. Over the years, this room has welcomed countless friends, esteemed individuals, and distinguished guests, including members of the Danish royal family. And now it's time to introduce our guest, Sister Anna Christina. With a wealth of fond memories from her time at Højgaard School, she eagerly awaits the opportunity to share her story. She vividly recalls the first day she stood at the entrance to Højgaard School, a moment etched in her memory from the mid-1960s.
I came here, I was studying in Copenhagen. I had begun in Vienna. Interior decoration, but then the Scandinavian decoration became so popular, design, Arne Jacobson, etc. So I went to Copenhagen and I had nowhere to stay and said, well, there is a convent in Vennerstorpsvej. I said, a convent? But, well, I took the chance, I came here and I saw the beautiful garden and I said, oh, that is something not bad. And so I began to stay here. I was 20 years old, so very young.
Back in the 1960s, Højgaard School had a strikingly different appearance. For instance, what is now the school's library was once a dorm comprised of modest rooms. Approximately 20 young female students and around 30 nuns from different countries resided here and they shared a unique community. Sister Anna Christina fondly recalls gazing out into the garden, observing the nuns interacting with the children.
And I felt a great family spirit with the sisters that were at break time, they were playing together football, and they were doing. And I was very amazed about this way of education that began with being like belonging to each other, like a family spirit.
Really?
So I came there very soon and I studied and I got more and more involved here. I got more to know the sisters. And so I left after my studies, after finish, and I worked 1 year in Rome. And in Rome, I got this idea, but perhaps that should be something for me. And so I was, of course, I had not been very Christian before. And I was fascinated by what I learned about Christianity, about Jesus. And so I thought, oh, I think that should be something for me. And that was the beginning. Yeah, it began in Rome. And then I went to Paris to see the Sisters of the Assumption. And that was a kind of beginning.
Sister Anna Christina's stay at Højgaard School, her time in Rome and with the Sisters in Paris, marked the beginning of his spiritual journey and the beginning of her life as a nun.
And I went to the university and we all did, all the young sisters, because we became young sisters there. We were all, we had to go to university to study our faith. And so I discovered a lot of things and I liked it very much. And then we have prepared for a first vows, that is, you say, well, I think it's really religious life. I would like to continue. I feel that is giving me joy. I always say that's the first sign that we are on the right way, that we are joyful, that we are in harmony with ourselves. And so I said, yes, I think I would like to continue. I'm still at a trying point, but I think so. And so they said, well, we will send you to Copenhagen, to Rygaard. I said, Rygaard? Oh, I know Rygaard very well. So I was very happy to be sent to Rygaard. So I came here. I came here, and there were 25 sisters when I came. This was in 1964, I believe, 64 or 65.
In the mid-1960s, Sister Anna Christina made her return to Rygaard School. However, let's rewind even further back in time. As you may already know, Rygaard School was founded by a nun named Marie-Eugénie Milleret. Before we return to Sister Anna Christina's narrative and her experiences at Rygaard School, let's rewind to 1817. It was on August 25th of that year in Metz, France, that Marie-Eugénie first entered the world. But who exactly is Marie-Eugénie? Marie-Eugénie's upbringing in the 19th century France was marked by both privilege and adversity. Born into wealth, she faced familial conflicts due to her father's liberal beliefs. Tragedy struck early in Marie-Eugénie's life with the loss of two siblings and her parents' separation in 1830. Her mother's death from cholera in 1832 left her alone and separated from her family. Despite these challenges, Marie-Eugénie felt a calling to help others and sought God's will in her life, demonstrating remarkable determination and resilience. Inspired by her vision of establishing an order dedicated to education and empowerment, Marie-Eugénie founded the Assumption Sisters on April 30th, 1839, alongside four like-minded women in a humble apartment on Rue Férou in Paris. Today, there are hundreds of Assumption schools across 34 countries. Rygaard School is one of them. Marie-Eugénie's struggle embodied a vision of education, empowerment, and love, which forms the foundation of Rygaard School's Christian view of humanity and its commitment to nurturing each student's potential.
Very important for us. You know, the first sister.
Let's return to the parloir at Rygaard School. Sister Anna Christina talks about Marie-Eugénie's values, the cornerstones of Rygaard School.
You know, the first sister, or the one that began it all, Marie-Eugénie, her thought was to change the world, how to help in her little bit, how to help to change and do a change in this world. Already at that time, she felt there is a need. And so she discussed with people, and they said, but it should be through education. If we have the children from there, and we can be able to educate them in a way that they understand. And so she began the congregation with, well, what kind of education? Well, the education, the word comes from Latin, educare, which means bring out and forth all what is in the under, in the child, in the world, and to flower, to come out and flower. And therefore, our first way of education is to help each child to discover the beauty she has and all her potential. And this potential, it was already there when she was a newborn child. Because the potential, what God has, we believe in that, what God has put in us, it will. But we have to, through love, through helping, bring it up and out, and that it can flower for the child. That is our main thing of education. And then, of course, you have all the parts of how education it is to help and to bring and be this person that is could be loved by others and loving others. That is a part of education, that we can live in communion, that we can live in friendship, to become friends, very important. It's an important part. Everyone thinks education is mathematics and geography. It is also that. But it's also that the person will discover all the beauty that is in herself or himself.
According to Sister Anna Christina, our development as human beings is not solely shaped by community, friendships, and learning. Our physical surroundings also play a crucial role, including nature and fresh air. This enduring philosophy remains essential at Rygaard School, where students spend their breaks outdoors. Now, let's hear what Sister Anna Christina has to say about this.
And so we always choose the schools where there are very green areas around, because we believe that the nature is helping a child, helping a grown up to belong to this universe where we live, this planet that is our home. And therefore we didn't talk in the beginning, they didn't talk about the ecology. But it was the same feeling that the child should care for the for nature, should use nature in the way of that it is become more beautiful and more powerful. So therefore, nature is an important part of our education. And then, of course, all the things, so with sport, with coming out, with not being afraid when it's raining, or being able to take the nature as it is coming, and listening to, also listening is very important. Watching and listening is important. And also being silent and going out into the wood and just feel the sweat of the wood.
Sister Anna Christina also highlights the relationship between teachers and children.
And then it is the relationship between the one that is giving input. Because, of course, we need input. We need official educators that are, but in a way that will be an adult and a child. So we cannot speak about directly friendship, but it is a relationship. That is a good relationship. Not too close, but not too far either. It is not their father, not their daddy, or not their brother, if it or mother, but it is the teacher who they are feeling at ease with. Very important that they feel at ease, and is now in the today and in the today's education, the teacher feel and at Rygaard to be very close to the children, and the children very close to the teachers. It's very important, very important. The teachers has a very big role for small children, for children in a difficult age, 12 years, 13 years, a difficult age for a woman, for a girl, for a boy, and therefore that teachers are close, not only giving you mathematics, but also giving and confidence, believing in the child. She has a word, our founder, saying, if you cannot see anything good in a child, it is your handicap, because there is a bully every single child. So it's you that have a handicap somewhere.
Marie Eugenie also had a focus on the education of girls, pioneering a forward-thinking approach that challenged the notion of education being confined to domestic duties and traditional women's crafts.
And then, of course, she also believed and she did schools for girls in that moment. It was not only for handworking or perhaps doing a thing. She wanted them to learn Latin. She wanted them to learn mathematics. She wanted them to learn question. And she says, for a woman today, but for some women, she was also trying to bring up the sense of the women's importance of women. And in fact, the word of the assumption, it's the women, that is Our Lady, Mary, the mother of Jesus, in fact, but is raised up. And we also take it in many of the countries that it is women, the woman being raised up. because in some countries it's very important, here in our countries, perhaps less, but in some countries to get the women to stand up, it's very important. So that was one of her means that in the beginning of 1800 and 1900 to get that the women are important and they are not at all only for the kitchen or for a handwork. Yeah, and then, of course, to be well and up to date, the world's changing and there are new things to be up to date, of course, of course. And they're open to the world of today, of the new things, a new method of education, new tools of education. But I feel that is a bit what we are giving over the sisters we left. That is so deeply in us, it has become nearly a part of our body, this way of treating, being with the children and with people. And so this is what we are happy if we can give over to the staff, happy to sense that they are, in that they, we feel a common way of thinking, a common way of dealing, a common way of being. And we might be of very different countries and nationalities and ages and importance in this world, perhaps. But we have the same way of feeling, and therefore I am happy, very happy, when the mothers and fathers, the parents say, "Oh, my child is very happy at Rygaard." So this is my greatest reward I can get. This is really, and we keep on, the sisters, we are far away, we are old, some of us, and many of us in Europe. And it is, but we keep on, we pray. Rygaard has a part in my, is a part of my heart. And if you dig down in the garden, you are going to find a part of my heart too. It's just there.
Sister Anna Christina's heart is still present at Rygaard School, as are the hearts of her fellow nuns. But how did the sisters come to Rygaard School? I hold in my hands an old handwritten letter containing a description of the sisters' arrival in Denmark. The bishop, Johannes von Euch, wished to establish a convent here in Denmark with the worship of the Holy Sacrament. Therefore, he asked the Assumption sisters to come. And on a cold autumn day in 1908, the first sisters arrived in Denmark with the French Mère Marthe as prioress. The beginning was very modest, but gradually they were able to establish a school with boarding facilities for young girls from the upper class in three villas on Amalienvej and Kastanjevej in Copenhagen. The backyards were merged and a small chapel was consecrated. Instruction was conducted in French, German and English. For the Danish students, a couple of Catholic medical teachers came a few times a week. The school quickly proved viable. In 1921, the sisters moved to Ordrup to the old St. Andrew's building. It was a transition from small, primitive classrooms and dormitories to a well-equipped school building with a beautiful chapel, proper classrooms, spacious dormitories divided into small cells, a huge gym with a magnificent theater, a large outdoor area with a playground and tennis court. In 1929, Mère Marie was succeeded by Mère Véronique. A year later, in 1930, Mère Véronique was replaced by Mother Madeleine Eugenie, who easily adapted to the Danish society and quickly learned the Danish language. Prior to her arrival, efforts had already been made to find a property more suitable for the convent. And when Rygaard was listed for sale, it was purchased. In 1935, the cornerstone was laid for the sanctuary's church and the first expansion of Rygaard's old, memorable buildings began. Now, let's go back in time once more. Sister Anna Christina transported us back to the 1960s when she first set foot in Rygaard School. As the Swedish nun shares her recollections, she paints a vivid picture of what life was like at the school during that era.
And so that we were in community. It means we were together for many things. Of course, we were eating together. We were helping together. We were washing up together. We were doing things. But we were also playing. Well, we did watch TV at that moment. That's later. We did not even have a TV, I think, at that moment. But we were together and we were walking in the garden. And we had a joyful time together, discussing things. That second point, family life and community life. And then, of course, our work. And our work was with the kids or with the children. But, you know, we did think of it as a work. We loved it. It was our family, and we were together with them. And I remember I had to, the evening, I was with the young children, the big children, when they had what they called recreation. So I was sitting there. They had small rooms where there were two or three together. And we had nice time, and some of them were playing cards. I took it. I played card with them. Some of them were listening to music where they had some things, and dancing. And so suddenly we were saying, let's put up a play. Why don't we do? And we give us a surprise for the sisters for the feast of the superior. And then we did something. And then we were sewing clothes, and we were doing. We had a lot of fun. The young sisters with the young girls that were here. That was, of course, younger than we there were. But they were up till 18 years here, the girls, and there were several more in the age of 14 to 18 than the small ones, because it was boarding school. So that made it this what we call Assumption spirit, what is really a family spirit.
Rygaard School has always been an international place with many languages.
They didn't only learn English. It was, in fact, a French school. So they learned French. But they learned whatever the sisters came from. They learned Italian with an Italian sisters. And they learned German with a German sister. And so it was an international school. At that moment, we had our own curriculum, school curriculum.
Later, Rygaard School focused on the Danish language and on integrating with Danish society. The school relocated to Galjebakken and Scandinavian sisters arrived. The community was essential and the sisters shared everything. For example, there was only one TV and one washing machine.
Some of the sisters were teachers. I was more... I taught religion, that's true. I taught religion. So that was an important thing. And after that, we came into the Danish society in a different way. And at that, you know, experience out there, because we said we come as a convent. So outside our house, that was exactly as all the other houses, we put the little cloister, the little cloister. And it was very modern with windows, so you could look in. And I myself and one other sister, she was also interior decorator, so it was very nicely done. And so people knocked on the door and said, but tell us, what are you doing there in the morning? Half an hour, or three quarters of an hour in front of the wall there. And I said, come in, we'll tell you. We are not in front of a wall. We are in front of eternity. We are praying. We believe in something. And they didn't really understand what we were saying. I said, praying now. I said, well, it's not like that. We were just, you know, inside. We were perhaps closing our eyes. So we were, and we are in contact with the dimension, which is the dimension that is where God is. So we could talk. And then we were not afraid of talking about that. And they didn't see, not a Miss Schultz and this. No, we talked about it and we were normal people and they liked us.
Sister Anna Christina looks back and recalls a few significant changes in the school's history. One change in particular thrilled the girls.
had boys coming. In the beginning, you know, there were three or four boys in a class of 25. So the girls were very excited about it. But that was a big change. Then it had always been a sister being the headmaster. And then it became lepers, different headmasters we had for the whole school. And then something important, and that was also before I went out to this other convent, it was that we became an official school with official Adgangs exam with the official exams for the Danish part. And also we were dividing into a Danish section and an international section that in the beginning was French-speaking. The whole was French-speaking. So we went over to English-speaking and English and then with a British school. Because English became, you know, with as the year gone, English became the most important language. Before it was French, and French was the diplomatic language in the world. We had some English British sisters too. It was no difficulties to change from the French to the English. So it became what we have today, an English department and a Danish department.
The school, like society at large, has been shaped by the historical periods it has traversed. Sister Anna Christina guides us through a wartime era, recounting how the school's Christian perspective on humanity held particular significance for Jewish children during that turbulent time.
The sisters were very, very upset about the situation, about the Jewish people. What they heard, they didn't hear everything. But what they heard, they had during the war an English priest living here. He had a radio. So the sisters did have more connections and knowledge than many people. And so they began to see that we had the Germans were invaded Copenhagen. And so we had the sisters up where the big bell was. The bell that was bringing the sisters to chapel every day in the morning, at midday, in the afternoon. People were a bit fed up with all this ringing of the bell, but it rang every day. During the war, it was different. It was always a sister sitting up there and seeing if Germans came from the Berchtesgaden, they were ringing in a way. Because from Berchtesgaden, you couldn't get into the other side. There was no connections. Or if they came from the garden, it was another kind of thing. Because we had quite a lot of Jewish people here. We had children, I'll talk about the children afterwards, that had no parents, but we also had Jewish grown-ups in the basement. But of course, when there were nobody in the house, they were able to come up because they couldn't live there. And they were up and now what we are, you know, the little, on the way to the church, well, all these rooms there. And so if the German came, they couldn't hide. We had often Gestapo coming into the house.
Sister Anna Christina also shares with us the disturbing reality of the Gestapo occasionally intruding upon Rygaard School. She recounts an upsetting incident when the Gestapo arrived to apprehend one of the sisters, Mère Madeleine.
So they took Mère Madeleine. Twice she was brought to the Gestapo in the center of the city. She, that was a Dutch, she knew many, many languages. She was a very clever woman. But she was playing as if she was not understanding.
Sister Anna Christina recounts occasions when members of the resistance stayed at Rygaard School to aid Jewish individuals in collaboration with the nuns. Among them, the brave Mère Madeleine, who persistently refused to reveal these secret activities to Gestapo, despite the immense risk involved.
They asked her a lot of questions. precisely approve. Of course, what happened here, people coming here and staying overnight here, etc. I don't know what language she spoke, but a language, you know, and that's it. And oh, I cannot. She was really making them believing she was well. No. So at the end, they said, ah, send her out. She's impossible. We can't get anything out of her. And she came back and she said, I have no money. Can you give me 10 euros for the spore bone? So she got 10 euros for the spore. And the Germans were annoyed with her after an hour or so.
The Germans handed Mère Madeleine 10 euros for the tram in Danish Sporvogn and sent her away. Sister Anna Christina continues the story of the sisters' courageous actions during the war. She recounts how the nuns, in partnership with the resistance movement, provided crucial assistance to Jewish children in need.
We took in, with connection with through the people at Mustans Bebels and through other people, Jewish children that stayed with a classroom, but it was classroom of 5 children or 8 children. I mean, it was the war. But they were one of them. Even the Danish or international and children did not know that they were different. I'm different, that they were Jewish. And so they stayed for some time to get used. But they knew when they were told that they were going over to Sweden, they would be brought to Sweden.
Sister Anna Christina remembers a very special episode here at Rygaard School, a long time after the war had ended.
A lady that came up here, of course now it's a long time ago, it's perhaps 20 years ago, 15 years ago, she came up the staircase and she said, I was there, I was superior here, I suppose. And she came up and she said, I was one of them. I said, I understood. And I said, come in here. And we sat down and she cried. And she said, yes, I was one of them. And the night I was brought, I was lying with a friend of me, another girl, in the bed. Until midnight, we were just lying together, these two children. And so at about midnight, Sister Madeleine, she came with some blankets, and she took her. And you know, we have an entrance in the Kirkegård. And you know, in the Kirkegård, what is very practical, you can see the old graves, they have a hedge of naturally. And so she was put there, she knew. But she knew that she was going to be fetched. That everything was for sure, she should but just be silent. And so in the morning, 4 o'clock, I don't know, came the fisherman to fetch her, to carry her and to down to Hellerupphaul, where the fishing boat was, and was brought over to Gamskung or Malmö, or I don't know this one, the nearest place, because there in Sweden we knew about the Jewish children. This woman had been one of them. And she says that there were many. I always tell the children this is a very sacred place, not so much because of the church and all this, but because we have helped Jewish people, we have helped people that was in danger. Therefore, I always tell children, you know, that this is the greatest thing you can do.
The wartime period serves as just one example highlighting how Rygaard School's values are put into action. This is the end of this podcast about Rygaard School and the sisters who have molded the school into what it is today. Though it all began a very long time ago with a visionary woman and her steadfast values, these principles and values continue to shape our school today. Through ongoing action and cherished traditions, Rygaard School nurtures its community and upholds values such as equality, responsibility, and respect for others. As time marches on, the school remains committed to shaping and inspiring the young minds that pass through its halls, equipping them with the integrity, compassion, and open-mindedness needed to confront the challenges of tomorrow. Thank you for listening.